is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Today we are talking about breasts. Breastfeeding, that is. Join us as we explore how American sexual opinions color the most basic function of the breast, nursing infants.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
Breast milk is the best food for your baby. It has the right amount of nutrients that your baby needs, and it changes to provide exactly what is needed as your baby grows. Breast milk reduces stomach upset. It helps response to vaccinations. The antibodies it contains helps protect from allergies, reduces the risk of respiratory infections, diarrhea, ear infections, and other illnesses. Worldwide, if every baby were exclusively breastfed, an estimated 1.5 million lives would be saved each year. Vassar Brothers Hospital lactation consultant Doris Nunez spends her days educating women to these facts. Born in El Salvador, Doris has a unique perspective on how two different cultures handle breastfeeding. Here's Doris.
I'm originally from El Salvador, Central America. I came when I was 13 years of age. I did grow up there, but most of my grown-up life I've been in the United States.
Doris, how many children do you have?
I have three.
Did you breastfeed all of them?
Yes, I did breastfeed them, and I had problems, like all the moms, so it wasn't all smooth sailing, I can tell you that. I think that's one of the main reasons why I came being a lactation consultant, because for me, when I had my first daughter, especially, I was a new mom, young too, and although I wanted to breastfeed, because that's just, you know, Hispanic culture, you just breastfeed, but there were a lot of problems, issues that I just didn't know. And unfortunately, the hospital where I had my baby, there was no lactation consultants. Nobody came and helped me. I was young, naive, was, you know, afraid to ask for help. So I didn't, and I didn't breastfeed as long as I would have liked to my first daughter. That's the honest truth.
When you were growing up in El Salvador, did you even recognize that women were breastfeeding around you? Or was it just a natural thing that everybody did?
So me, it was just something natural. I remember seeing women in the park, they would breastfeed their babies, and you don't even realize it because it's so common that you see it and women do it. I've seen women really get their breasts out and they're men around and they don't really feel uncomfortable because they don't stare. It's not a stigma. El Salvador, especially nowadays, I find it's becoming more Americanized too. So you do have women, even there, if you have the means to buy formula, they're buying it. It's the same and also of status. So, you know, if you're like middle class and you can afford to buy the formula and moms go to work or moms, you know, even if they don't work, they feel that they have that privilege. It's kind of a privilege to do it.
Now, you work with many immigrants here at the hospital who come in to have their baby. Do you find the same situation with status if they can afford the formula, or is it more economic that they're here to work and they can't be with their baby all the time?
I think that when they come here, many of the Hispanic moms, I find they want to Americanize. And sometimes I tend to tell moms they want to bottle feed too and give the baby formula because they feel that's the norm. Maybe they want to be accepted by society. So I find that might be an issue. Some of the moms that in the native, let's say, for example, Mexico or Guatemala, they breastfed only. I find that's the most common issue. Hispanic families in general are very supportive of breastfeeding because their grandmothers did it. Their mom did it. In the right way, the moms would tell me, no, I'm still going to breastfeed. Or some moms would say, oh, well, I'm just going to breastfeed for 2 months. I say, why only 2 months? I would tell them, well, because I'm going back to work. And I said, well, you know, you can breastfeed at night. You can breastfeed on weekends. You can use a pump to express your milk. A lot of time they're not familiar with pumps. I think that's an issue. They're not familiar with that. I help them with that, decide which ones, how can they get it, and that could be an economic issue. Some of them don't have the means, so they decide to do both breast and bottle feeding. But I don't think it's so much of an issue they deciding not to breastfeed. I think I could say almost like 99.9% of them breastfeed. I think the issue more is it going to be exclusively or is it going to be supplementing.
UNICEF tells us in 1981, the World Health Assembly adopted the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes. The code exists to protect and promote breastfeeding through information on appropriate infant feeding and regulation of the marketing of breast milk substitutes. The code specifies there should be no promotion of breast milk substitutes, not directly to the public, not through healthcare professionals, nor should free samples be distributed to new moms or their families. India has implemented the code through a conspicuous warning printed on all formula cans. The United States ratified the code, but does not enforce it. However, Iowa Senator Tom Harkin may change that with a new bill requiring warning labels on formula, which would say something like, "The Department of Health and Human Services has determined that breastfeeding is the ideal method for feeding your baby." If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and next we're talking with Kerry Rossi, breastfeeding mom to Dylan and Brayden.
My mother, there was four of us, and she didn't nurse a single one of us, and in the first few weeks, she was pushing formula and saying that it was just like less than skim milk that Dylan was getting and that the baby had to be hungry. Why would a baby eat so often? Lots of different things. And not seeing a bottle go directly into the baby's mouth bothered her just the same. But by the time Brayden came around, she was completely convinced, and she too now believes there really is no other way, which is kind of odd. But certainly there were lots of members of my family I had to convince. My husband was instrumental in supporting me because we both did enough reading and research that we knew that this was the way and we would make it work, and took a couple classes and stuff. So,
did you have a preconceived notion of what breastfeeding was going to be like, and was it anything close to what it was actually like?
I certainly had preconceived notions, and it was absolutely nothing like what it ended up being. Based upon the fact that most people that I knew stated that it would be very painful and very difficult, and that most of the things that I ate would be problematic as far as causing the baby to be gassy and all kinds of stuff, it never turned out to be as bad as everyone built it up to be. I have to be honest, it was actually quite simple, I thought.
Every mom who breastfeeds at some point winds up facing the decision to breastfeed in public or to stay home where they might be more comfortable. How did you handle that situation?
Initially, I was very nervous when I would have to feed Dylan as a new baby. And quite honestly, the first few times I had to feed Dylan in public, I actually literally fed him in bathroom stalls, probably three times. And the older he got, 2 months old, 3 months old, the more comfortable I got. So then I'd be in a food court with like a receiving blanket over us. And then a few months went by and I was more and more comfortable. And then, you know, by the end of, you know, he was nursed until 14 months. By the end of that, there were no more restrooms and no more hiding. The people I felt most uncomfortable around was family. I think strangers, I cared less about them giving hairy eyeballs than I did family. And actually, it wasn't my family as much as I think it's still, even nursing Brayden for 17 months almost, I cared more about my in-laws, not my husband's parents per se, actually not at all. It was his siblings. If they were around, I almost felt like they would leave the room because I was staying, because I was nursing. If we were at the dinner table, that's where I was nursing. And you couldn't see anything, but I think they were the most uncomfortable.
If you were talking to a mom who was considering breastfeeding, besides the health benefits, what were the benefits for you?
Oh, I think it made my life a lot easier. When I think of the women that had to sterilize bottles and make bottles, and, you know, when you have more than one, even if you just have one child, your first child, that's a lot of work. In the middle of the night when the baby's hungry, you just get up and you just feed the baby. I mean, there's no running downstairs, making a bottle, heating a bottle, sterilizing a bottle. All of those things that you have to do, going to the store and shopping for the stuff that you need. None of that stuff is necessary. It's just always available. It's always the way the baby needs it. It's always the right temperature. It's always perfect. And it's easy.
Breastfeeding is good for moms, too. In the first weeks after birth, breastfeeding helps the uterus return to its normal size. It helps women return to their pre-pregnancy weight faster. And more long-term, it can help protect against breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and osteoporosis. If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and next we're talking with Dr. Karen Pogge, breastfeeding mom of three girls. Listen as we talk about the positive influence breastfeeding has had on her life.
When you were pregnant with your first daughter, what made you decide to breastfeed?
I decided to breastfeed because I thought it was the healthiest thing for my baby. I didn't know a lot about breastfeeding. I didn't know very many breastfeeding moms, as most children growing up in the 60s and 70s didn't know a lot of people who breastfed. But I had learned through my reading and through my education that breastfeeding had lots of health benefits for babies. That was why I decided to breastfeed in the beginning.
Each mom who decides to breastfeed eventually comes up against the question, do I breastfeed in public or don't I breastfeed in public? When you came upon that situation yourself, how did you handle it and how did it feel for you?
Now, it's a great question, Eileen. And I think that for me, it grew in stages. To start with, I actually had some struggles nursing my first child. And so for me, it wasn't so much about, was there going to be a problem breastfeeding in public in the public's eye? It was more, would my baby breastfeed successfully herself? You know, would she be able to do it in public and get fed and get nurtured the way she needed to? I remember our very first nursing experiences out in public when she was just a couple of weeks old and, you know, having to fiddle with my clothing and worry about whether she was getting latched on and staying latched on was sort of a challenge. As time went on, I became, I think, very adept and very comfortable at nursing in public from my own perspective. I've always been sensitive to how others perceived it, though, because for me, I want everyone to feel as comfortable about it as I do. And so I tend to just be careful and look around my surroundings and meet my children's needs before they get too needy. You know, so try to nurse them before getting very upset. And really meet everybody's eye when I'm nursing, because there's nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about. I'm just taking care of my baby the way that nature intended my baby to be cared for. And I like to set an example for other women by nursing out in public.
Have you ever had a negative experience in terms of your family or being out in public?
You know, Lynn, I probably have had negative experiences. I'll say truthfully, though, that mostly they've been outweighed by positive experiences. I remember one of my first experiences of breastfeeding in public, actually, was with an elderly uncle of my husband's, and my baby was very young, maybe 3 weeks old, and I needed to nurse her in the middle of a restaurant, and they had positioned us at a table that was right next to the buffet, and I was a new nursing mom and, you know, very just concerned about how it all was going to go. And here was this 80-year-old uncle at the other end of the table watching me the whole time with a very stern look on his face. And I thought, this is not going to go well in the end. And when we left the restaurant, he came over to the side of the car where I was putting the baby in the car seat and pulled me aside and said that when he and his wife were raising children in war-torn Germany, she had breastfed their babies. And that's why they had survived, because they had no opportunity to give them any other food, and he was very proud of me for breastfeeding his great niece. So it was one of those lovely experiences that let me know you don't always know what the public is thinking, and you don't always know who you're affecting by what you're doing in front of them.
Is it acceptable for women to breastfeed in public? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Shonda Penny, Doris Nunez, Kerry Rossi, Dr. Karen Pogge, and Agnes Mestrich are just some of the voices of our world. I'm your host and producer for this week's show, Eileen Bott. You heard music today by Richie Havens, Lone Star, Il Divo, and Marvin Gaye. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.